says baseball isn't exciting? Huh? Woo. The crowd here tonight was jacked up. A rocking crowd down here at the Rogers Center. My goodness, all night long. It was great to see. And hey, you know what? The Blue Jays entered tonight 3 games up on the Angels, and the Halos will head back to their hotels 4 games back of the Jays after a 4-1 tightrope win for your boys in blue. Of course, welcome to Jays Talk across the Sportsnet radio network, streaming live on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. I'm Shoali, taking your calls and texts. The phone lines are open. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text us. That's the People's Text Line, which is always open. Real quick, I just wanted to read a couple of these texts here. A couple of them actually about Ben and Madison. A couple of them says, this one's from Lindsay in Montreal. Tonight I have to thank Apple TV for forcing me to listen to Shulman and Shipman. Excellent broadcast. And I like this one. Great job on the call by the law firm of Shulman and Shipman. I kind of like that, actually. The law firm of Shulman and Shipman. I think we need to coin that. That needs to resurface, I think, at some point in the next couple of games here at the Rogers Center. Look, lots of stuff to get to tonight, certainly. We'll take all your texts, take all your calls. I want to chat with you guys about the adjusted batting order. Shohei Ohtani serving up his 39th home run of the season on the first pitch he saw from Kevin Gausman. Ridiculous. And then, of course, perhaps equally in a different way ridiculous, that we did not see Shohei Ohtani for a deciding AB with the bases loaded in the top of the ninth inning. Crazy stuff. So we'll see if there's anything with Ohtani, if we find out on social media. Perhaps like an odd experience to see the crowd kind of like half cheer for him but half boo as well. Like they were excited to see the Ohtani experience but hated that it came out with a home run off of the starter Kevin Gausman. Certainly Kevin Gausman making another start after some velo that had dipped the last time out we had saw him. Perhaps some concern there, less so today, I would think. And some terrific stuff from Eric Swanson and Tim Mesa. We'll get to all that stuff. But how can we not start with Jordan Romano? Like, once again, an adventure. Some good movement on the slider, certainly some good velo on the fastball. So he gives up hits to Trey Cabbage and Eduardo Escobar, the 8 and 9 batters. Luis Rengifo faces a full count in mid-AB. He gets the mound visit from John Schneider with the trainer. They leave him in there. He misses badly to walk Rengifo and load the bases. I do genuinely wonder if he's just not 100%. Like, obviously, most athletes across the entirety of baseball are rarely at 100% when we get to, you know, here we are at the end of July. But even so, like, a little troubling, perhaps, right? So there was on the, you know, we were sitting here in the radio booth. So Schneider goes out there with the trainer. Everyone huddles around him. He's very animated on the mound. So after Schneider goes back to the dugout, he kind of stretches. He touches his toes. He kind of works his shoulders a little bit, rolls his shoulders, kind of does some shimmies on the mound after every pitch, kind of like working his waist and kind of like his lower back almost. And of course we know about the lower back thing that happened with him at the All-Star game. You know, he continues to seemingly stretch after every single throw, and then he gets lifted after the bases are loaded for Jimmy Garcia. And of course Jimmy Garcia gets the save with 2 pitches to Mickey Moniak. But it's a little concerning about Jordan Romano, I won't lie. By the way, Phil Nevin just chucked a tablet out onto the field during that pitching change. Like, the Toronto police officers seemingly were crowded around the Angels' dugout because he was heated when he was talking to the umpire in Karai. I genuinely wonder what he has to say to the media after the game because he was not pleased. But, hey, look, if the situation with Jordan Romano highlighted any one thing to me, I got to think it is that the bullpen is still atop the list of trade deadline needs, I would think, right? Like, there was a, let's see, there's a text here. Here it is. Pete, love to see Ohtani continue his historic run, of course, on the text line, 590, 590. But the Jays coming out ahead. My question, how critical is it that we add one more truly elite bullpen arm before the deadline? I think it is very critical. You guys know I do Jays talk every now and again to fill in for Blair and Barker, but I think in recent weeks, I had like somehow talked myself into wanting perhaps a position player, a bat. Hey, we'll get to the adjusted batting order. I know it was only four, quote unquote, only 4 runs, but it looked much better, despite some a couple annoyances here and there with some particular individual moments. But, I mean, those happen in most baseball games, but we will talk about those. But just, I'm not sure, maybe with the adjusted batting order, maybe it means you don't need to bat quite as much as you did before. But the bullpen, boy, got to be at the top there. A starter, perhaps a luxury. And I do think a bat will come, even if it is Tommy Pham and not like Nolan Arenado or something like that, right? But even with Chad Green returning soon, that has got to be atop the shopping list for Ross Atkins, Pete, because I think I talked myself into the bat earlier, but if anything is wrong with Jordan Romano, we saw it tonight. We have seen it before. The Jays have to walk a tightrope in every single save situation. And we saw it against the Dodgers, for example, when Swanson did not have it. He, of course, very much did have it tonight, but doesn't always work out for the non-Romano relievers. So I have to think that it is a bullpen arm at the top of the list. Let's go to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. We'll go back to the text line in a sec, 590-590. Name and location, please. Eddie, joining us on Fort Erie. Eddie, what's up? What's on your mind, man?
Well, so I have a couple of things on my mind. First of all, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I got to say, Matt Chapman has the biggest grapefruits I ever saw in my entire life. To go up to John Schneider and tell him, why are you pitching to Shohei Ohtani? He knows Ohtani very well, Chapman does, because he faced him quite a bit when he was in Oakland. And for him to come up in his first at bat, hit a home run, that was something. I have to say that was really great. Now, the second thing I wanted to say was the first game of the series. I mean, I'm glad the Blue Jays won tonight, even though it got a little spotty in the end, you know, with all the walks they were giving the Angels and the chances. They really needed to set the tone in this series because of what the Angels did over the last couple of nights, you know, telling everybody we're not trading Ohtani. And then a few hours later, we add the starter tonight, Giolito, essentially saying that we're coming. And, you know, great on the Blue Jays that they were able to get the win tonight, because I've seen so many times, show when the team gets a pitcher, it really ignites a team. And tonight, the Blue Jays really did great tonight. And I hope this carries over into tomorrow and throughout the series, you know. And if Ohtani is pitching tomorrow, playing tomorrow, they better learn not to pitch to him.
Hey, Eddie, I agree with you, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk. Look, Ohtani, I am still definitely monitoring for any Ohtani news. I just hope he plays, because he is an electric factory. The guy is ridiculous, right? Like, I remember he came here last year, and he pitched, what, 7 scoreless innings here at the Rogers Center in front of a packed crowd. And it's not as though Ohtani was having a bad year last year. Obviously, he was having another ridiculous year that perhaps, I think, just got overshadowed, honestly, wrongly. I know that sounds like sour grapes because we do all the Blue Jays stuff here, but I think wrongly by the whole Judge home run thing. Like, man, the Pujols home run race last year was more exciting. I don't know. Maybe that sounds too like homer, sour grapes. We don't have to get into it too much. But my point being, Ohtani, excellent last year. The electric factory continues here in 2023. I really do hope he's okay. I hope he plays. But that was an odd situation late in the game. Okay, we do have to talk about the Chapman thing. Let's talk about it, because a lot of texts about Matt Chapman talking to old John Schneider in the dugout, right? There's so many of them here. Russ from Toronto has one take on it, perhaps the opposite take of Eddie. Russ says, not a good look from Chapman shouting at the manager about the pitching staff when the Jays' starting pitching is the only reason the Jays are where they are. It's not Gausman that's underperforming. Real unprofessional stuff from Chapman, in my opinion. I see another one about Chapman, a JJ in Toronto. Good for Chappie. Thank God someone was finally speaking logic to Schneider. Perhaps not the best place to do it, but my God, was he ever right. Rye from Edmonton. Funny seeing Chappie beak off John in the dugout for pitching at Ohtani. LOL. And Tony from Kitchener and Stephen from Calgary agree as well. Tony says, I love Chapman giving Schneider his mind after the Ohtani homer. Came back and answered with his own home run. John was stoic. Stephen from Calgary, happy to see Chapman getting in Schneider's face after the Ohtani home run. Hard to argue with him when that was the only run scored. It's true. Like, we talk about the first home run from Ohtani, which he just absolutely launched. Also, by the way, that home run went into, like, the standing room area of, right in front of visiting a bullpen. It looked like someone caught the home run and then they dropped it. It's kind of what it looked like. What happened? So whoever you are, if you're listening, I'm so sorry, because how awesome would it be to catch a Shohei Ohtani home run in the year? He's probably going to win like the unanimous MVP or something. But the John Boy, if you don't follow him on Twitter, he does a lot of the Yankees stuff, I think, now for WFAN, but for some of the Yankees networks out in New York. But he obviously started kind of as an independent podcaster, and he did a lot of the lip reading things also on YouTube. Great stuff. If you haven't seen the lip reading stuff from John Boy, I heartily recommend it. But he actually posted on Twitter, I think it's at John Boy Media, he actually posted on Twitter a very clear shot of Chapman talking to Schneider, and he did the lip reading thing. And so here's what a much more experienced lip reader than I and John Boy said that Chapman said to Schneider. So he says, Chapman's words were, "Why did we pitch to him? He's the only bleeping guy on the team that can hit." And let me tell you, he didn't say bleeping, right? And I got to say, I personally kind of loved it. It does perhaps beg the question as to what should happen in situations like that. Like, it kind of makes me wonder, should... like, does PR have to go tell Chapman and Schneider that this was something that went down? And Schneider's probably talking to the media right now. We'll probably hear a little bit of it before we say goodbye, and I am certain Schneider will address it. I find that so fascinating from like a outside of the off the field standpoint. But I actually have no problem with Chapman saying what he did to Schneider. Not because I want him to go out there and be disrespectful, but I also do think it is the responsibility of the veterans on the team to kind of be the leaders and say what they're thinking. I don't think necessarily it was disrespectful. And even though he did drop some potty mouth words in there, I don't know that, like, we've all seen and heard athletes enough that it kind of just seems like it's part of their vocabulary. And it did not seem like he was that animated to the point where it was super disrespectful. But that's kind of where I fall on it. I think I like a veteran like Chapman sharing his mind, a piece of his mind as to what should happen. You know what? After that, this is what we saw from Gausman. We saw Gausman went in for the AB against Ohtani in the third. He went splitter, 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 slider, splitter, splitter for a foul tip into the glove of Jano for a strikeout. After the first pitch he sent was perhaps a poorly located fastball. He clearly missed on it after setting up the way he did, but he missed on the fastball, and after that we did not see Ohtani get, certainly from Gausman, another first pitch fastball for the rest of the game. So clearly they got the message. It did not seem like there was that big. It was that big of a deal. But personally, I'm here for some personality, let's say, from the Blue Jays players. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Guy calling in from Maple. Guy, how's it going tonight?
Show, how are you, buddy?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just want to first off by saying that I'm really glad that they made the move with Merrifield and Springer. It's exactly what
yes.
we were talking about on Wednesday. The only thing
yes.
they need to clean up now is put Jano in the 6-hole and put Varsho in the 9-hole, and everything will look great. But great to see that. Now, with respect to one thing I kind of disagree with, I still think they need that bat more than they need a reliever, and
okay.
this is why in the regular season, now they're going to be going to a six-man rotation, and I think that goes well for the Jays as long as these pitchers can be a little bit consistent. They should be able to pitch a little bit more, maybe throw 10 or 15 pitches more, seeing that they got the extra day's rest, which obviously means that the bullpen shouldn't get hacked every single night. I mean, I don't foresee games like, you know, what we've seen in the last week and a half every single night. It just can't happen. But so I think that'll play in the Jays' favor for sure in the second half of the season. But one thing that stood out tonight, I'm not happy that Romano got hurt, but I'm kind of glad that maybe that there's a seed planted here, because this is what happens when you wait till the last minute. And I know Blair and Barker were talking about this earlier on the show, that you don't wait till the last second to make all these trades. So if Romano, for some reason, is injured, you're now dealing in a position of weakness. The other teams are going to know it. And we might have to give up a little bit more to get that guy that we need. And the same thing with hitting. If somebody gets hurt, we lose one of these bats. You know, we already have two or three almost guaranteed outs every night with some of these guys hitting. We can't afford to lose a guy like a Bichette or Guerrero for an extended time, or else this might cause a huge problem, obviously, in our playoff run. But I still think we sit really well for a playoff run based on the pitching and defense. I just want to know your thoughts on on if they should be making a move sooner than later.
Hey, Guy, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for joining me here on JSTOC. I do think they should make a move sooner rather than later, because it kind of feels like the longer they wait, and I mean, it's July 28th here, the trade deadline in, let's see, 4 days from now, right? Not counting the rest of, like, the next 2.5 hours, basically, that are left here in the day, 1.5 hours, basically, at this point. So knowing that there's just a smidge over 4 days-ish before the trade deadline, and we have seen Ross Atkins work a little before the deadline instead of being one of the many tweets that Jeff Passan or Ken Rosenthal send out, you know, minutes before the deadline happens, I think at 6 p.m. On the deadline day on the 1st. But I don't know. It does kind of feel like it would behoove the Jays to get whoever it is onto the team sooner rather than later. Also knowing that after this series against the Angels, there's a 4-game set starting on Monday against the Baltimore Orioles, the team leading the division right now. And, I mean, it's a good thing that the Orioles are going to go up against the Yankees for this coming series. So, like, someone in the AL East is losing that series. The Rays are playing the Astros. Someone in that series is going to lose as well. So the Blue Jays will benefit. But it wouldn't hurt, I think, Guy, to get the whoever it is you are targeting on the team now or sooner rather than later. I do have to say, though, it's going to be hard, I think, this year. Not just because of what you said about, you know, if someone gets injured, you're dealing from a position of weakness. But just generally speaking, so many more teams are within wildcard spots, essentially, right? Like, the third wildcard basically means that there are way more teams, including the Angels. Like, if you look at it entering play, and a lot of these games are in action right now, and we'll get to the standings update on the other side of the break, but Red Sox, 2 games out of the third wildcard. Yankees, 3 games out. Angels, with the loss, they're 4 games out now. Seattle, 5 games out. The Guardians, 6 games out, right? Like, I think you can probably safely look at the Tigers, White Sox, Royals, and A's, who are double-digit games out at the very least for all of them, as teams that are probably not going to make a huge difference here. But at the same time, the Royals are, or pardon me, the Tigers are 46-58, and the Twins are 54-50. Twins probably going to win that division, but, I mean, maybe the Tigers feel that they are not that far away, so they don't want to sell a bunch of pieces if they can be competitive next year. And the same goes for the NL as well. Right now, I think entering play, Cincy and the Marlins are tied for the final wild card. We also saw a David Robertson trade. The Mets sold to the Marlins this year. I did not have that on my bingo card. I don't know that anyone had that on my bingo, on their bingo card in 2023. I only say all this is to mean, as much as I would love to see the Blue Jays go out and get a player and add them to the team like tonight or tomorrow and not do it the day of the deadline and have to kind of scramble a little bit for prices, and maybe guys are asking prices rise and you have to kind of acquiesce or capitulate at the very last second to get the guy you want. As much as I would love to see that not happen and have them do it a little bit before, I kind of think with all these teams still in it until the very last second, there's not going to be a lot more mega deals being done until maybe, you know, the day of the deadline, which also is just exciting from a general standpoint. But I think if you want to see the Blue Jays improve, it does make it a little nerve-wracking. So back to the phones, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Bill from Lindsay. Bill, what's on your mind? Welcome to JSTOC.
Thanks, Joe. Nice to chat with you. We've texted back and forth before, but
yes,
I never chatted or actually physically talked with you, so that's
welcome.
Great. Yeah, appreciate it. I was just thinking, before I make my other point about the Chapman situation there, and it's amazing, you know, that in this day and age, it just shows again how the players are kind of, you know, making a lot more decisions for the team, if you will, than the managers and the coaches and their respective sports. You know, in the old days, you would never, ever see a player of any kind, you know, challenge a manager at, you know, at any time, maybe in the clubhouse or something, or the dressing room, but certainly never on camera like that. And if they ever did and tried it, they'd be out of the lineup immediately, of course, and sitting in the clubhouse, and maybe a suspension would follow or something like that, you know? So it's good to see that they've got their input, but it's amazing the 180 that's happened, that they're really catering to the players a lot more than they ever do to almost a fault in some aspects.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? The game, and I would say this is not even limited, Bill, to baseball. Like, a lot of teams in every sport, it feels like, kind of, and they all kind of do it to certain degrees, I'm sure, but they all seem to tolerate a little bit more player input. Like, I remember, this has nothing to do with baseball, but I remember so vividly, I think it was towards the end of the regular season, and in the NBA, the Miami Heat had, like, Udonis Haslam and other guys kind of get into a Jimmy Butler getting into a verbal shouting matches with, of all people, Eric Spoelstra. And you kind of think to yourself, like, man, would, like, Pat Riley have ever tolerated that? Maybe not. So things have definitely changed. Oh, okay, Bill's gone. All right, well, goodbye, Bill. I thought we were going to hear a little bit more from Bill, but thanks for the call, man. I did see Bill wanted to talk a little bit about, I was kind of waiting for him to get to this second point, but I did see Bill wanted to get to a point about Danny Jansen, and I was going to save this for a little bit later, but I think we should get to this right now, because Danny Jansen has been just ridiculous, right? I always say that Danny Jansen feels like he's continues to ascend Mount Clutchmore. Tonight, another late run that helped them certainly to a 4-1 win. This was from Chris Black on Twitter, Sportsnet producer extraordinaire. You can often find him on JSOC Plus with our pal Blake Murphy. Every week, I believe, Chris joins at some point in the week from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. And this is from Chris on Twitter. Over Jano's last 162 games, all right, he has 37 home runs, 110 RBI, and has a .549 slugging percentage, which would be fifth in the American League. That is silly. That is absolutely wild. Danny Jansen, perhaps even from us, and we talk about him all the time. And when I say we, I mean like the royal we, like the media, the fans, like us when we have our conversations on Jays Talk, everyone, right? We probably, as much as we talk about him, perhaps still underrate Danny Jansen. We actually talked a couple of Jays Talks ago about signing him to a longer-term deal. He is obviously going to get paid by someone in the not-too-distant future, certainly. But you hope it's the Blue Jays after his last Arbier. And I still think a good starting point, and again, you might have to take a year off of perhaps this guy's deal, but the Sean Murphy deal for Atlanta, a good place to start, it was like $70-something million over 6 or 7 years, I think, or maybe 7 or 8 years for Murphy. I'd have to go look up the exact numbers, but maybe something for Jano to lock him up. He's 28 or 29 now, so this is probably going to be his last like major payday, certainly first major payday, I would think, as well. But maybe something like 5 to 6 years, $56 to $60 million, and you front-load the deal with some more cash instead of, kind of like we did with the Kikuchi deal, for example, right? A bit of the cash, more cash coming in years one and two for Kikuchi than year number three. I kind of wonder if you might do something like that, knowing that Jano has kind of not struggled by any fault of his own, because a lot of the injuries he's suffered has been getting hit by pitches, for example, which you can't really control. But, you know, maybe you front load the deal a little bit, to knowing that the injuries are something he's dealt with before, knowing that perhaps catchers tend to maybe drop off a teensy bit offensively as they get a little bit older. So, hey, I'm all for Jano being a Blue Jays long-term. Let's get back to the text line. 590-590, name and location. I like this text from Jason in Muskoka. First of all, nice way to start a big series. I'm sitting around a fire in Muskoka listening. That sounds wonderful. I hope you are having a wonderful night, Jason in Muskoka. He also says, I didn't see the pass ball with Bo on third. It certainly sounds like he should have scored on it. These little mental errors will kill a team in the playoffs. They need to tighten up. Let's hope they do on that front. It's a fair point, Jason. From what I could see, it kind of just looked like bad, dumb luck. When the pitch was thrown, Bo, almost like at the split second the ball came out of Giolito's hand, he turned away and didn't see it get to the plate, because he clearly heard the reaction, I don't know, from the crowd or from one of his teammates or what, from the third base coach, Luis Rivera. But he turns and then kind of like makes a quick shuffle step towards home plate and then steps back. So clearly did not see it. Yes, he should absolutely, having been paying attention. And it does kind of feel like it was like a little bit of a wasted opportunity, because he could have easily scored from third. But I do think ultimately that same inning in the bottom of the sixth, I mean, we got some dividends out of the adjusted batting order, right? Merrifield begins the base hit. He steals second, advances to third. A Bo double easily scoring Merrifield. He could have walked home if he did. He kind of lightly jogged home. I still think perhaps George Springer got some luck in that inning, because it kind of felt like he hit a double play ball on the first pitch again. But he kind of lucked out, because Velasquez boots it at short. Springer gets aboard. Again, teensy bit of a wasted opportunity, but again, I'm not going to pick too many nits on a night the Blue Jays win 4-1. Let's take a quick break. Stay on the line if you're on the line. We'll get to you in a couple of minutes. I'll go back to the phones, back to the text line as well. But on the other side of the break, we'll take a look at something we talked about very briefly, the Major League Standings Watch, which is presented by Bet365. And like I said, back to the phone calls, back to the text line as well. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is the people's text line. Back in a flash, you're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Joe Adley with you for another 10 minutes or so as we discuss the Blue Jays' 4-1 win over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. What do you guys think? California Angels, bring it back. What do you think, Tom? I think we should bring it back. Bring back the California Angels. No, I'm sure no one cares but me. Before we go back to the phones, go back to the text, let's get to the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19-plus play responsibly, Ontario only. So actually, a bunch of games still in action right now. So I'll basically end up reading the records of these games before play started today, but of course including the Blue Jays' win over the Angels. Again, a 4-1 win here at the Rogers Center. So entering play, the Orioles, who are taking on the Yankees right now, Orioles are 62-40. The Rays, who are taking on the Astros right now, the Rays entered play today 62-43. The Blue Jays are 58-46 following their win. The Red Sox, that just began their game against the Giants, they are entering play 55-47. And the Yankees, again, entering play against their game against the Baltimore Orioles. Camden Yards, 54-48. The score updates, by the way, at least right now, here we are, 10:35 p.m. Eastern on a Friday night. Yankees-Orioles, zeros at the end of four. And the Rays and Astros tied at 3-8. Actually, the Boston Red Sox up 1-0 on the San Francisco Giants. Tristan Casas with an RBI double. He's been on fire as of late. Blue Jays take on the Red Sox, I think, in about a week, a little over a week. So he's going to be a problem, but that is a problem for that week and not for today. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. On your cellular device. Chris from Ottawa. Chris, what's on your mind? Welcome to Jays Talk.
Yeah, it's Joe. I was just wondering, is there a combination or a scenario based on any name available? And I know the Padres said they weren't listening on Hader anymore, that even with a totally healthy Romano, where someone comes in and Romano is not the closer, whether that's a mix of Chad Green or a name, is there someone out there that actually pushes him out of that role?
That's a good question. Hey, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for joining me, Chris, here on Jays Talk. I'll say this. I think Josh Hader would be that guy. I don't think Josh Hader gets traded, because it kind of feels like the Padres, even if they don't make the playoffs this year and it is an uphill battle for them, it kind of does feel as though they are not that far away from competing. At least I'm sure they feel that. So you're right. Josh Hader would obviously be the answer, but doesn't really feel like that's going to happen. You know, the other guy that has been actually discussed by the Cardinals as of late, and I don't know if he pushes Romano out of a full-time closer role, but he has been very good, and he has some nasty stuff, like electric velocity, is Jordan Hicks, who has at times been a starter, but basically is, I feel like he's been mostly converted to a reliever now, with certainly the St. Louis Cardinals. He is going to be a free agent this winter, and unless it's changed since like the game started, I admit I have not been checking like the feeds of the St. Louis Cardinal beat writers. As much as I love Derek Gold and Katie Wu, they do a phenomenal job. But I do wonder if they don't come to a contract extension, because that had been the news I had seen last. He could be someone on the move. Again, I haven't seen anyone like Rosenthal or Passan or Nightingale say that the Blue Jays are necessarily in on Jordan Hicks, but I wouldn't mind. I would love to see Jordan Hicks as a Blue Jay, but I don't know that happens. I know a lot of people are fans of Scott Barlow with Kansas City, although I don't think he's had a particularly heralded last 9 to 10 appearances, not starts, but appearances. And one guy, I remember we talked about him at the beginning of the season, was Kyle Finnegan from the Washington Nationals. And obviously there's some injuries for the Nationals. They're just not a very good ball club right now. Obviously rebuilding, Juan Soto having been dealt away obviously last year for just like a bazillion prospects. So I wouldn't mind seeing Kyle Finnegan. Again, I'm not sure he pushes Jordan Romano, but I'm not sure the answer is that you need to necessarily push him out of a full-time closer role. Just have someone who you can, if you need to, go to beyond Romano or Swanson. Swanson, by the way, looked just nasty today. I feel like we got to give him all the credit in the world because he obviously did not have it and got pummeled by the Dodgers in that loss, horrible loss on the weekend. But like the Houdini act from Swanson in the seventh might legitimately be like when you added all the factors together, right? It might legitimately be the best individual inning any reliever has thrown for the Blue Jays literally all year. I know that sounds like being kind of a prisoner of the moment, but when you add together the situation they were in, right? Your ace running into trouble, the bases loaded, no outs, you're protecting a two-run lead at the time. He himself having badly struggled the last time out, and then you add in like the actual pitches he was throwing to get swings and misses. You add all those things together. Just filthy stuff from Swanson. I think one of the good developments, great developments from Swanson tonight, certainly as well, just beyond him getting out of the jam with nothing coming across the scoreboard, apart from some Ks, he gets the first two outs with the splitter. And that's something we talked about last time because the splitter hasn't been working for him as effectively in his last, I don't know, number of outings it kind of felt like. So good to see that return somewhat. And, of course, he gets a fastball by Luis Renjifo to get out of it, and he avoids having to face, of course, Shohei Ohtani, who came up for his next, and we would later find out, his last AB. Of course, in that eighth inning, it was Tim Meza waiting for him, a lefty-on-lefty matchup for Meza. He uses his regular arsenal of sliders and sinkers to get the ground out on Shohei, and don't look now, but Shohei 0-2 against Tim Meza this season, so checkmate, Shohei Ohtani. I do want to briefly talk about Kevin Gausman because, of course, the last time we saw him, the velo down significantly on basically every pitch, and he didn't last very long in that game either. Yes, the Ohtani home run, it comes, and we talked about it a little bit, but, I mean, you know what, despite the, and this is what Chapman was talking about, despite the Angels playing pretty well over the course of the season as a whole and coming into this one hot, certainly after just stomping the Detroit Tigers, you know what, like the next guy after Ohtani, maybe the next most dangerous batter was Mickey Moniak, who I think actually has the longest hit streak in the entirety of Major League Baseball. So perhaps not entirely true words from Chapman when he says the Ohtani is the only bleeping guy on the team who can hit. But, I mean, if you're careful with those guys, you pitch around them as much as you can. And you know what? Afterwards, most guys in this lineup, even Taylor Ward, who has been coming back into it a little bit, most guys in this lineup have an OPS of this whole season of below 800. Like, Gausman is the best pitcher on the staff. He's perhaps one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Like, go after these guys. And the nice thing is that he did, right? He obviously did. He used the combo of the four-seamer, the splitter, the slider all game long. I think he snuck a sweeper or two in there, perhaps. And, yeah, he was gassed in the seventh. He's having some real trouble locating the strike zone, especially with the last two batters, both of whom were walked. But, again, a final line, six-plus innings, five hits, one earned run in the end, nine strikeouts, and then you add in the three walks as well, which basically all came in. I think he walked one guy prior, but the two walks coming in his last outing in the seventh inning. I don't know. It's a kind of a funky way for Gausman to leave this one. But again, I think Gausman, much better to see him, especially be able to step on the gas pedal and just pump some pitches right up to, you know, he would throw 93-mile-an-hour fastballs, and then suddenly you'd see a 95, 96-mile-an-hour fastball. So definitely good to see at this point of the season. I see here a couple more texts we'll get to in the last couple of minutes. I see here Ryan in Hamilton. Ross, call A.J. Preller in San Diego, discovered by the Germans in 1904. That's funny. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan, which, of course, in German means trade me Josh Hader. Again, Ryan, I love it, but I don't think the Blue Jays have enough to pay the Padres and Preller what he probably wants for Hader, as much as I would love to see it. I see here, let's see. Mahendra from Brampton. Rogers Center was packed with folks wanting to see Ohtani. This is supposed to be Guerrero's house. How big of a series does Guerrero need to have? I'm not sure he needs to have a huge series. He was still, I think, a relatively impactful player tonight, even though he's not going to show up a lot in the box score. Certainly the mere threat, the specter of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. forced an intentional walk, And I do think, even though he did ground out in his last AB, there are some promising things in that AB, I think, that you can take into account when you look at Vladdy's entire evening. Like, for example, he clearly would have earned another walk in his final appearance, but he got hosed a little bit by the umpire, and it was a 3-2 count. I think he swung on the pitch, but, I mean, he took some great pitches in that same AB, and one was way, way off the plate. The sweeper, way off the plate. But, boy, Vladdy, again, I know it's not going to – it's not going to be super consequential ultimately, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I think he has been, you know, he does need to have a good series. I don't know that he needs to be the guy every time out, because maybe this adjusted batting order can help out a little bit here. Colin in Vancouver Island says, sell the farm. We need to win now. Let's go get Liam Hendricks and Eloy Jimenez from the White Sox. Ty and Beaumont, another suggestion, is perhaps David Bednar an option under control till 2027. Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind any of those guys, obviously. Again, I'm not sure, even if you were to quote-unquote sell the farm, I'm not sure you have enough. If you're not trading Aurelvis Martinez and Ricky Tiedemann, and reports are they're not going to do that, I'm not entirely sure you are going to get enough, perhaps, in order to make a huge splash. But hey, love the fake trades. Keep them coming. I'm going to be on Jays Talk tomorrow night as well. Hey, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer has arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit Crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For the law firm of Shulman and Shipman, for Tom Young, Armin Zargarian, for Andrew Adams, I'm Sho Ali. Game 2 of 3 goes tomorrow right here at the Rogers Center. Julia Kreutz will be with me. Excited for that. She'll be with me tomorrow night right here in the booth. I'll talk to you then.